Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in SmackDown Live. Who needs Raw?
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Yeah, welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be watching right here at youtube.com/Steve and Larson. Also available wherever fine podcasts are available, including iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Podbean, Google Play, iHeartRadio. I'm not even sure if it is on iHeartRadio. I remember source Google Play. Somebody told me before they had to like reset something or like reload something. I don't know how that works. I assume we're there because our podcast and everything sends we're there. We're also at soundcloud.com/Steven Larson.
Soon to be on Spotify.
Possibly. That's always a possibility. I haven't emailed the person I'm supposed to email yet. I know I said I was going to do that after I lost trivia on the SmackDown show, but guess what? I'm a rebel. I don't always do what I say I'm going to do. That's not actually because I'm a rebel. It's because I'm usually just forget.
I feel like you're just hurting yourself by having that attitude regarding us being on Spotify. You're hurting us.
No, look, what was the original plan?
By WrestleMania.
Exactly,
those plans changed.
Correct.
Thanks to our wager.
During trivia. Silly little trivia game. We can't base entire podcast strategy.
We made a side wager
right
at Survivor Series
yeah.
that meant I had to wear a Slapnut shirt for a week.
Yeah.
Even though if I had made that wager, I would have won predictions.
Well, those are
you
predictions.
Had to wear that shirt.
Those are predictions.
Nonetheless, it was a wager.
Hey.
I held up my end of the bargain
yeah.
when we made that wager. Hold up your end.
All right. Speaking of t-shirts, we're also at prowrestlingtees.com/goinginraw where you can get better t-shirts than the one he has on
right
now.
No, this is the best t-shirt.
It's great, man. We're like another ratings victory for me.
No.
This week.
I'm on my way to besting W. Steve W. this week.
That's all fake. What you're talking about is
look
fake.
At numbers. Numbers are real.
All right, 70. Hold on, you're at 7,400. I know, but that doesn't really take into effect everything. Yeah, I'm still up. I'm up.
I know you are because yours
I'm
went
still up.
Yours went up a day before.
I'm up on you,
but not by much. I will pass you.
Will you?
Yes.
I don't know, man. My numbers are down. I gotta infuse some new talent in my shit. I need to get some big names, big signings there on W. Steve W.
You're the Vince Pop Russo. Ratings. You are the Vince Russo of Friendo Unified
it's
Championship.
Just another
wrestling.
Week of wrestling. It's just another week of wrestling to me, dude. We also have a Patreon, of course, at patreon.com/Steven Larson. Name a reward tier.
$1.
What do you get for $1?
Our thanks.
Our sincerest thanks.
Exactly. And a monthly live stream.
You get to watch the show live once a month. Yeah, usually after pay-per-views. So that's great. All sorts of other great rewards you can get there at the Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways. So yeah, today we're going to talk about NXT and 205 Live.
Correct. Which one do you want to do first?
Let's talk about 205 Live. I like to get that out of the way before we talk about NXT because I love NXT.
Yeah, but 205 Live this week was pretty good.
Well, usually we sort of talk a little bit of shit because it bores us. But this week they stepped up their game. They had a spectacular main event.
Yes.
A number one contender match. To determine the number one.
A fatal five-way elimination match to determine a new number one contender to Neville's Cruiserweight Championship.
And it was a lot of fun.
Yes.
You know, those guys are generally our criticism doesn't come at all from like the participants, like the roster. The roster is great except for TJ Perkins. But that being said, because, you know, it's just the circumstances, like the way they're booked, the fact that they really don't get to get all their moves in.
Yes.
Like, you know, they did in the Cruiserweight Classic. And the fact that they air in front of a dead crowd.
Yeah. Last night was different because the crowd was into it.
Yeah.
Especially during the main event, the action was fast paced.
Yeah.
Which by and large in Cruiserweight matches, especially on Raw mm-hmm. and somewhat on 205 Live where they have to wrestle more of the WWE style.
Mm-hmm.
The pace is more deliberate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every competitor in the main event had a chance to show off what they really can do.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And it was just a really well put together, well told story, all contained in the match. It was good.
It was in Seattle. People in Seattle They appreciate good things.
They do.
I pointed to my heart. I was going to say heart. I don't. It was G.G. Allen wasn't from Seattle.
I don't think. I don't believe so, no.
What a creep. He liked to throw his poopy at people.
I'm aware of that.
You know that? You ever see one of them shows where he throws poopy at people? Did you ever watch Hated?
Yeah.
What a creep.
He didn't seem like a good human being.
Oh, you don't know that. Nah, you know what, man? If you start throwing poop at people, you're probably not a great human.
Yes.
Or there's probably just something wrong with you. See, I'm not so liberal that I'm willing to excuse throwing poo-poo at people like that.
Oh, I'm not either.
As like a mental illness of some sort. I'm not like, oh, he gets on stage and he throws poop at people. He needs help. No, it's you're fucked up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, getting off G.G. Allen. 205 Live, yeah. So it started. So somebody wasn't in the match at first. There was
Tony Nese got hurt on
Raw.
Yeah,
what happened with that? He legit got hurt.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently, okay. He has a minor heel injury. I believe. That's what I read.
Oh, okay, all right. Maybe so, it's because he got his cock cleaned.
Oh, we'll get to that later.
Ooh, little penis.
So did you notice? I made a note of it here that during the main event. That
yeah, I chuckled. Chuckled.
Yeah, yeah. Moro said someone got their clock cleaned,
and Austin said his what?
Say, what'd you say?
His what?
And he said, that's pretty funny.
His clock. You heard me. His penis. I mean, ooh, his dingus. Oh, no. Dickhead.
His timepiece.
Okay, we'll talk about that later.
So the first match was to determine who would replace Tony Nese in the Fatal 5-Way. Mm-hmm. So there's a match between Daivari.
Aria Daivari
and
versus
Mustafa Ali.
Mustafa Ali. Yeah.
I really like Mustafa Ali. I really like him.
Yeah, I do as well. I like him a lot. I like this match. I thought it was a good match. Mm-hmm. I like Daivari.
I do
both
too.
These guys. I'm kind of bummed out that, and this is kind of my concern, that after the Gallagher feud, he was going to fall into jobber status. And sure enough, he did because he lost this match. Mustafa Ali went on. I like Mustafa Ali. I'm okay with that. But this is a good match. They mm-hmm. showed some intensity. Mm-hmm. It was cool. I liked it. They really mm-hmm. looked like they were fighting for that spot. Next up, we had Lince Dorado versus Brian Kendrick. Sorry, the Brian Kendrick. Again, Kendrick was doing the thing where he's making an example out of people.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he was talking about Tozawa. He said there's something special.
Yeah.
About
yeah. He said he was the gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
Of 205.
Right. I like
Live.
That. That's a great gimmick for him now.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a great. Yeah. That's a great.
Especially him being the veteran.
Being the veteran. Exactly.
Yeah. It's great.
Kendrick went over on Lince Dorado. It was a good match, though. And then afterwards, he gave the interview where he talked about Tozawa, and then he talked about. And then Tajiri showed up.
Well, he was saying, "Hey, Akira,
yeah.
come on out. Mm-hmm. You know, let's." Because he was saying that he and Kendrick and Tozawa had become friends backstage,
right? Yeah, yeah.
And so he said, "Come on out, let's talk." And instead, Tajiri's music hit,
teleported.
Yeah, essentially
teleported
behind Kendrick. Kendrick mm-hmm. turns around, gets the green mist.
Oh yeah,
right in the face.
Yeah. That was good. And then Tajiri does the creepy thing where he like hovers over him like some creature from Resident Evil. It was great.
Yes, fantastic.
I liked it. Then we had a Neville interview. Maybe I walked away from this one. Oh, no, this is the backstage one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, this is backstage. I saw this. Typical mean Neville.
Yeah.
You know, he's being mean, calling himself. People need to bend their knee before
yeah,
the
he was going one by one with each of the competitors in the Fatal 5-Way.
Mm-hmm.
And more or less saying how none of them were as good as he was.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. And then we had the main event, which was a lot of fun. It was Cedric Alexander, Noam Dar, TJ Perkins, Jack Gallagher, and Mustafa Ali. Dar was eliminated by Cedric.
After another vicious lumbar check.
Yeah, it was great.
No one sells the lumbar check as well as Noam Dar so far.
No, I agree. He goes high on that thing. It's great. You make the clock cleaned reference here. Now, this is it was during SmackDown? Was it during SmackDown?
No, it was during Raw, I think.
Oh, it was during... No, it couldn't have been
No, it was
Raw.
During 205 Live.
It was during the previous 205? I thought it was during SmackDown. When he first said clock cleaned.
The cruiserweights aren't on SmackDown.
Oh, then it had to have been a 205 Live?
Yeah.
Okay, all right, that makes
It was
sense.
A match between Tony Nese... I want to say Tony Nese and maybe Mustafa Ali.
Okay, that would make sense, I guess.
I think.
I don't know.
Because they've been kind of in a little mini program lately. Yeah.
In any event, he said Tony Nese just got his cock cleaned.
Yeah.
Obviously, he meant clock, because getting your cock cleaned isn't like a phrase that I know of.
Yes.
Yet. Anyways, in this particular episode, he says, oh, he got his clock cleaned. And then Austin Aries, bringing that up, said his what? He says,
yeah.
You heard me.
What'd you say?
You heard me. There was even a little bit of like... At one point, Mauro, even during the episode, had to sort of plead with Austin.
I know, to be nice to him.
To be nice to him. Oh, when's my contract up? Oh, got to get out of here. Oh, limited time. Where's Tom Phillips? How much would you love? A lot of people in the comments, they'd stop hating on Morrow. Morrow's fine, whatever. He's a professional. But I wouldn't mind just seeing Tom Phillips and Austin Aries. But Austin Aries is going to be coming up soon. So that's what we got to kind of, we're going to talk about that now.
Yeah, we can talk about that now, according to Wrestling Observer Newsletter.
Austin Aries has been cleared to wrestle.
Yeah.
And they're talking about him versus Neville at Mania. Now, this is interesting because Austin Aries, as we know, is a heel. But he's kind of a lovable one.
Yeah.
Because he's funny. So I don't know how they're going to do this. Is he going to be like a tweener?
Yeah, he could be an arrogant face.
Yeah, I would love that.
Yeah.
It'd be great. I want to see Austin Aries come back at Mania.
I know.
We're going to be there, and it'd be great.
And apparently these little interviews he's been doing.
You already set it up. Yeah,
yeah, it's all the setup. So yeah. He'll interview Neville at some point after Fastlane.
Yeah.
Which will lead to their match at Mania.
Yeah.
And as much as we were hoping for some sort of ladder match for the Cruiserweight title at Mania.
I prefer Austin Aries.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny, though, is that watching. So I watched the first part of this. Before I read the Wrestling Observer thing, and I was like, man, this match really justifies our idea of having a ladder match with the Cruiserweights at Mania. It totally justifies that because that could be a lot of fun. It could be a show stealer.
Yes.
It could be really good, but I would rather see Austin Aries just because I'm a huge Austin Aries fan. I think it's great.
Next, getting back to the match.
Yes,
even though Noam Dar was eliminated by Cedric Alexander.
Still made his presence known.
Yeah, Cedric was on the top rope, getting ready to deliver a move, I believe, to TJ Perkins.
Right.
Noam Dar comes up on the apron, knocks Cedric off the top turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
TJ Perkins takes advantage, gives him the disaster kick.
Yeah.
Pins and eliminates Cedric Alexander from the match.
Yeah.
Next, TJ Perkins eliminates Mustafa Ali.
Yes.
I believe with an arm bar.
Yeah.
So that leaves Jack Gallagher and TJ Perkins.
And they had a great finale. They had a great finish. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. TJ Perkins was really working the knee hard with Gallagher, and Gallagher was doing a hell of a job selling it.
Yep.
But he was able to overcome.
Thanks to two vicious headbutts.
Two headbutts and then the
whatever, drop kick.
The drop kick, whatever
he really
that.
Should just use the headbutt as his finisher. Because when he does a headbutt and the headbutt.
Oh, I like the drop kick because there's a buildup to it. Because he gets in the corner and he really sells that he's about to fuck this guy up with a drop kick.
See, I like when he does the headbutt out of nowhere.
The out of nowhere is good.
And then falls on him for the pin. Like he knocks himself out and then gets a pin. That's great.
I know. That's good great. Too. No, I like it. I'm just saying, like, I could see it either way.
It's just a drop kick, though.
I know. Okay, well, Daniel Bryan, was just a knee.
I know, but it was a running knee. It was a knee
his
plus.
His is a running drop kick. He runs to get there.
Pretty much everybody does a drop kick of some sort.
Yeah, a standing drop kick, not a running drop kick.
Daniel Bryan used to do multiple running drop kicks.
Okay, why are we talking about Daniel Bryan? We're talking about Jack Gallagher.
You're the one that brought him up.
Well, yeah, because this is just a knee.
But it was a running knee.
Yeah, but this is a running drop kick.
But Daniel Bryan ran faster than Jack Gallagher does.
That's the stupidest thing you've ever
said. No, more momentum.
Life. That's so dumb.
It's not dumb.
Do you know that for a fact?
I mean, that's the eye test. It looked like Daniel Bryan would run faster than Jack Gallagher does.
You have
does.
Worse eyes than me, so I don't think.
But
you
I wear
know
contacts. Even without contacts, I think I can judge motion going across my television. Even if I couldn't actually see. You know, like clearly the people doing it.
It's a horrible argument that nobody's like, everybody's tuning off right now. They're all just, our ratings are declining.
Mm-mm.
Anyways, so yeah, Gallagher won. No chance he's going to beat Neville.
No, but it's a good feud for Fastlane. Because Jack Gallagher does a lot of really good character work, as does Neville.
I like Jack Gallagher a lot. I like the there's two things we have to mention. Number one, Gallagher was using the umbrella quite a bit in this match.
Yeah, there was that spot where he opens the umbrella, climbs the top rope.
Did a Mary Poppins.
I know. I think that's what he's trying to do at the Rumble
before
he got eliminated.
Yeah.
And then he just kind of like jumps off the top rope but kind of just falls too.
Yeah.
And I wonder if the umbrella actually, you know, because when you fall and air gets under the umbrella, it kind of.
It'll alter things.
Alter your trajectory.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. It seemed like he jumped off at a seated position, and as he fell, his upper half started to fall back.
I know. It looked like it could have been bad.
Yeah, it could have been bad. I wonder if the umbrella had any part in that.
And Corey Graves marked out so hard over the Mary Poppins bit.
Yeah.
He said, oh, my God, that's the best thing I ever saw, which made it great.
And a shout-out to Corey Graves for all the great Seattle
references.
Oh,
my God, it was amazing.
He name-checked three Seattle Supersonics.
Yeah.
And dropped a Pearl Jam reference after the main event ended. Really good.
That's fantastic. So, yeah, it was a fun 205 Live.
It was. And watching the main event, you know, I'm a huge Cedric Alexander fan. I would love for him to win.
Yeah.
But knowing that whoever won this match was probably going to lose to Neville at Fastlane.
Yeah.
Gallagher's the right pick.
No, I totally agree.
I thought it was going to be Perkins halfway through.
Mm-hmm. They were booking him pretty strong in this.
But no, Gallagher's the right pick.
Yeah.
Because he can put forth a great effort, do a lot of really great character work, mm-hmm. lose that match, and he really won't suffer
because of it. I'm actually kind of looking for it. It's kind of an odd pairing, him and Neville. Neville, who just seems like a really bitter, angry guy, and then Gallagher, who's all like weird British frills, you know? I like it. So that'll be some interesting stuff.
Yeah, it'll be a fun match.
Yeah. Let's talk about NXT.
Yes.
The roar of the year. This made me so happy.
I'm going to give you the floor for the next
this
2 minutes.
This made me so flippin' happy because my favorite guys, the Bollywood Boys, tell me the Bollywood Boys shouldn't be in SmackDown's tag division right now.
Oh, they
tell
could be.
Tell me you can't see them milling about in the ring with all those other gimmick tag teams milling about, eating losses left and right, just eating pins like they're at the fucking catering table. I love the Bollywood Boys versus Sanity to open NXT because they didn't even need Alexander Wolf. It was just Big Damo destroying both of the Bollywood Boys.
This whole episode of NXT was about establishing Damo as a dominant force.
It was great. And we're not going to call him Alistair.
Killian Dane.
I'm going to get Tommy End and Big Damo. Tommy End and Big Damo are great names.
I know.
Aleister Black and Killian Dane are not great names. They're not good, man. Big Damo.
Yeah, give Damo. Damo's a good name.
Tommy End is a
great, it's a great name. I know.
It's a great name.
I know. Okay, I agree.
Back to the Bollywood Boys. Let me ask you this. You're Steve and Larson are tag teams. Okay.
Okay.
We're a tag team.
Yes.
We're in the back. And Sanity's already out there because they came out first. And they're like, okay, guys, you're up next against Sanity, okay? Are we going to come out no selling the fact that terrifying ass Sanity is in the ring right now? Because when the Bollywood Boys came out, they were full, and they're not even very good at doing like the Bollywood Boys. Here's my issue with the Bollywood Boys. There's so much cool shit in Bollywood. Their action movies are fucking amazing. I've never seen one all the way through. I've just seen like clips and best of bits. But they are what Hollywood really should be. They are what Michael Bay should be aiming to do. Just over the top, ridiculous, but with the slightest hint of comedy, of tongue-in-cheek comedy, Bollywood has some truly amazing shit. These guys have taken anything like sort of corny about Bollywood, which there's plenty, and they focused only on that as their gimmick. So they come out and they look like they have the kindest faces. I don't want to see kind people in wrestling. I don't want to see anybody who looks kind. They have like the kindest faces. They're like the kind of guys, they're like permanently friend-zoned guys. That's who the Bollywood Boys are. So I just want to see them get beat up so bad because I want to say, guys, stop being so kind. You need to be like assholes. Just be a little bit assholes. There's plenty of awesome assholes in Bollywood.
Maybe this is the beginning of a larger story for them.
No, it's not. This is now their larger stories are going to be gimmick tag matches, tag teams on SmackDown. And they're going to mill about the ring and they're probably going to eat some pins to the Ascension or God forbid the Vaudevillains. They look like the nicest people I've ever seen in my life.
They do.
And they're so like they're not good dancers. They're not good Bollywood dancers. Like they seem out of rhythm. They're doing this shit and it just doesn't look right. I've seen cool Bollywood shit. Those guys in Bollywood movies know how to dance. They have like action movies where like cool ass looking dudes are dancing. Awesomely.
I know.
These guys do not represent Bollywood. Anyways, Big Damo beat the shit out of both these guys.
Yeah, there was the powerbomb spot similar to the one the Office of Pain did a few weeks back.
Yeah.
No one took an elbow to the face, though.
No, thank God for that. I don't want these guys to get hurt.
No.
In the realm of the universe of the WWE, I love to see them get hurt. I don't want to see actually get hurt. They look like they're two nice guys.
Yeah.
They just look like nice fellas.
Yeah.
So I want to. It's more like I want to see them get wedgies. I want to see them get picked on. I I want to see them get bullied. That's what I want to see. Not like in real life. That'd be messed up. That'd be rude. They seem like nice guys. But in the realm of the, you're stepping in there with guys like Big Damo. All right? That's who's coming out to fight.
Yeah.
You can't be nice. You can't come out there happy and partying. Sell the fact that your opponent, they're terrifying. Big Damo didn't even need to tag in Alexander Wolf, who, by the way, almost stole the episode for me.
Yeah.
Because when Sanity, so did Sanity first come out and cut a promo?
No, Sanity came out and did their entrance.
Okay.
And during that entrance, while they're all posing in the ring.
And milling about.
Yeah, Alexander Wolf started moshing.
That's right.
For a very short period of
That's
time.
That's what happened first. He started, it was either moshing or it was straight edge dancing.
Yeah, one of the two.
Yeah, yeah. Because straight edge dancing involves shadow punching.
That's right.
But moshing involves a lot of physical, you're trying to hold your own too. So he was in a solo mosh pit or straight edge dancing.
Yeah, and then after that, the Bollywood Boys came out.
Okay.
They had the match.
Okay, but hold on. They came out.
Oh, yeah, and before the match started, Alexander Wolf kind of tried to give...
Well, Damo's in the ring. Alexander Wolf climbs up to the second rope and tries to give him a hug from behind, and Damo shoves him off, and Alexander Wolf goes...
Yeah.
Yeah. He's got the best facial. Everybody, it's like him and Eric Young have the best faces.
Yeah.
In NXT. That's what I want to see. I want to see crazy people faces. Not, I'm happy to be here. I'm just a happy Bollywood guy. No, I want to see crazy people.
Okay.
That's what I want to see.
I understand. You said this many times.
I know. I just really am happy that the Bollywood Boys came back because I know that they're so low on the totem pole that they're going to get murdered every time, and that should be their story. And that should be the end of their story. They should never recover from it until they get rid of those nice faces and maybe get some scars.
Like I said, maybe this is a part of a larger story.
They just need to become bitter and angry because they lose all the time.
That might happen.
And then they quit.
Give it time.
And then they just quit. They hand in their resignations.
Following Damo's win over the Bollywood Boys,
Eric Young's great face drops an amazing promo. It was awesome.
Telling Ty Dillinger.
So leathery.
Yeah, telling Ty Dillinger yet again that he doesn't have a choice in the matter. Yeah. He must join Sanity.
But right before that, Nikki Cross, and it was great. It was great. Because while Sanity was still in the ring, when the Bollywood Boys got into the ring, finally, after doing their weird dance crap, Nikki Cross tried to attack them. And you know, if it's a handicap match, the Bollywood Boys versus Nikki Cross, who's going to win?
Probably Nikki Cross.
There's no probably about it. Nikki Cross is going to destroy them the same way Big Damo destroyed them. It just might take a minute longer. Anyways.
Nikki Cross, during right before Eric Young's promo, was screaming, Asuka! Give me Asuka!
He's like, there's no civility about her, and it's great. It's fantastic. The entire time she's seething. Like, that's her gimmick. She just seethes.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
Yes.
Anyways, Eric Young said, yeah, Ty Dillinger, you belong with us. And I'm thinking to myself, no, he doesn't. He's like the most clean-cut looking dude and the most affable appearing guy. See, there's a difference between having a kind face and being affable.
Because I understand
Ty
that.
Dillinger, he's a good-looking dude.
He is.
But he brings the intensity.
He does.
And he's there to win.
Yeah.
The Bollywood Boys are there to be nice guys. Sometimes people are just around to be nice.
Yeah.
I don't want that in my wrestlers.
Okay. Next, we had Liv Morgan taking on Billie Kay.
I like Liv Morgan. She's a cutie pie. I think she still needs some more time in NXT.
Yes.
But I think given enough time, she could be good, man. She could be good.
Yeah.
I'm warming up to Billie Kay and Peyton Royce.
Yeah,
as
am I. Their women's title match at the last TakeOver,
mm-hmm.
I think really elevated them.
Yeah, I think so. They established more of a presence. Like, yeah. They're something to be reckoned with.
And their rapport and chemistry are pretty good.
It is. Like, they're supposed to be annoying
heels.
Yes. And I like that. Next week, I might change completely, but this week, I liked him. Billie Kay took the surprising sort of sneak loss, mm-hmm. to Liv, mm-hmm. Morgan. She got, what was it, like a roll-up or what was it?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Anyways, that led to, we'll just skip later on, Billie Kay and Peyton Royce pissed off about it.
Yeah.
They stormed William Regal's office right after he was done delivering the news that UK tournament.
Yeah, next week the UK title will be defended on NXT.
Yeah.
It'll be
right.
Tyler Bate versus Trent Seven.
The Mustache Mountain fellas are facing off.
Yep.
But then after he announced that to the camera, Peyton Royce and Billy Kay show up. My stomach is growling. All I've had is a brownie today.
You should eat more.
Yeah.
You had a brownie for breakfast?
Pretty cool.
Does sound good.
One day you can grow up and be me, kids. Because kids don't usually, they're not allowed to have brownies for breakfast. But when you're an adult, you can legally do that.
You can do whatever, you can have whatever you want for breakfast.
Yeah, so I have to eat like soup the rest of the day. But yeah, so they stormed.
Just because you had one brownie?
I'm joking. I'm not doing that. I've got some pizza in the fridge.
Oh, there you go.
It was Bama's birthday, so everybody got to eat good, bad, whatever.
Yeah.
They storm William Regal's office.
Yes.
And they say
that they want a match together against Liv Morgan. And then Regal says, okay, it'll be Billy Kay and Peyton Royce against Liv Morgan and a partner of her choosing.
And they think that she don't have any friends.
Yes.
So they literally hopped out of the office.
Yeah, they were quite happy.
And giggling. Obviously, it's going to be Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Unless it's going to be Ember Moon. Probably might be Ember Moon. Because they, Liv Morgan and Ember Moon were like, they were like buddies. They were
that
saying,
could be.
Hey,
that
we want to make an impact.
That could be the case.
It can be Ember Moon.
Yeah.
Because I mean, Nikki Cross and Asuka.
And it's already, you know, that's already been shot. So I'm sure I could go on the internet right now and find out exactly who it is.
You know what's great is that I read the spoilers. I forgot everything I read.
Me too.
Except for the dude who's going to come out and challenge Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that because it's kind of a big deal.
Yes.
Okay. So. Then we had a Ty Dillinger interview.
That was interrupted by Sanity.
Eric Young laid into him. It was great. And then, for some reason, Roderick Strong and No Way.
Well, the brawl went out to the ring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, they threw him out to the ring.
Yeah.
And continued to attack him. And then, as I was saying, for some reason, Roderick Strong and No Way Jose. No Way Jose, I get.
He's had history with Sanity.
Yeah, he's had history with Sanity. And also, even if he hadn't, he just wants people to have a good time. Again, his face. I love No Way Jose's face, and he loves to have a good time. He doesn't have a kind face. That dude could be a psycho killer, or he could be a fun-loving guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I love No Way Jose.
Mm-hmm.
Man, can you imagine a No Way Jose heel turn? That'd be weird and great, and hopefully very bloody. I could see him like doing his weird dance, but with blood just streaming down his face.
Yeah,
you got to watch Taboo. There was a brutal.
Yeah, no, I need to start watching.
There's
that.
Some brutal shit on that. It's a pretty cool show.
But Roderick Strong needs something to do.
That's why he came out.
Yeah,
that's essentially why he came
out.
He needs something to do. Where was Cian Almas in this episode?
Not in it.
He was not in this episode. So that set up the main event, which was Ty Dillinger, Roderick Strong. And No Way Jose. I like that you have here. Ah, don't change it, you bastard.
No, I had Dillinger, Strong, and Ty.
so two was, Ty Dillingers.
Yeah, two Ty Dillingers and Roderick Strong.
Taking on Sanity in the main event. But let's see here. Then we had...
Heavy Machinery.
Which is... Hold on, let me see if I can get their name. Tucker Knight.
Yes.
You know who Tucker Knight looks exactly like, by the way?
Who?
Rick Bognar.
Oh, yeah.
He looks exactly like a Haas version of fake Razor Ramon.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
His name is Rick Bognar, right?
Rick Bognar, yeah.
Rick Bognar, yeah.
Yeah.
He looks exactly like that dude.
Yeah.
And Joe?
Otis?
Otis? Djokovic.
Dovovich.
Dovovich. Okay, thank you. Basically, this is Fun Haas and Boss Haas. Teaming up together.
Did
a couple of hosses.
Did Heavy Machinery's singlets remind you? Remember High Voltage from WCW?
I was trying to figure out. Yeah, they're road signs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just road signs. And Heavy Voltage, again, is warning signs. For,
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But even kind of like the diamond logo.
It's, again, these guys could easily be milling about in the SmackDown. Oh, wild card tag team elimination finals.
But you do have to commend 205.
Tornado.
You do have to commend NXT for their Haas roster.
Oh no, I absolutely agree with that.
Between Damo and Heavy Machinery,
Haas, dude, like half the UK tournament was Haas's.
Yeah,
Trent Seven kind of is getting.
No, Trent Seven is a Haas at this point.
At
he's
this
getting
point,
there.
He's a Haas. Oh, I know. And they said, "Hey, Chris Hero, go away, Haas up, and come back."
Yeah,
because we're gonna love Haas's in 3 years.
I know.
I love it. That's great. Because you know why? Because I can relate to Haas's. Why are you, you're shaking your head yes.
No, they're relatable.
You're shaking your head yes.
Haas's are relatable.
Fat shaming me again.
I'm not fat shaming you.
You want me to tell the people you said the other day?
It was an accident.
I won't tell them. Then we had a package on Tyler.
Well, no, let's talk about this match because the Revival got a great response from the crowd. They're singing along to their theme.
Hell yeah, man. You popularized that theme. That's why.
I guess so.
You know what's funny, too, is that so I've always kind of known their theme, and then you brought it to prominence in my head.
Mm-hmm.
Last night was literally the first time that I stopped and listened to it.
Yeah.
Just so that I could appreciate what you do.
Oh, okay.
And it made me laugh.
You know what?
It made me so happy.
I remember when I first heard their theme song, and I thought it was awful.
Yeah, I know.
Awful.
I know.
Absolutely horrendous.
It isn't very good.
No, but it's after hearing it enough and starting to sing it, it's crossing in over into so bad it's good territory.
So bad it's charming.
Because they take this guy shouting in the most guttural fashion with essentially country rock.
Yeah, I know.
It doesn't work.
No.
But it works so poorly that it kind of works.
We go hard.
All day, all night.
Say yeah.
Yeah.
All right, there you go.
Oh, there you go. All right, you knew it was going to happen.
Revival picked up the win. They started dropping a promo.
Yeah.
Calling out Authors of Pain.
I love that even like in, because I mean, I don't know if it was a squash match necessarily. It wasn't a squash match because Rick Bognar got some shots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But I love that even in matches like this, the Revival, they have such a naturally great in-ring chemistry.
Yes.
In their, you know, the different ways they tag in, tag out, stuff like that. It's really cool.
Yeah.
They flow very well for a couple of, you know, guys who remind you of the Minnesota Wrecking Crew.
Mm-hmm.
So then they basically, you know, they
Call out the Authors of Pain.
I love the Authors of Pain, man.
Yeah, they're great.
Anyways, they got blindsided, though, by the Revival. So I looked away for like half a second. Did the Revival, like,
how did they
sneak attack them?
The Authors of Pain started walking down the ring. Revival fled.
They did. That's what happened. Okay, that's what
they
I figured.
They went around the ramp backstage, and as the Authors of Pain went back up and turned around.
Yeah.
Then the Revival.
You don't see that very often. You don't see that very often where somebody will flee through the crowd, but because they're at Full Sail, they probably know the lay of the land pretty well.
Yeah.
So they can get back to the top of the ramp pretty quickly. You don't see that very often.
Nope.
Usually if you flee through the crowd, then end scene.
Yeah.
You don't get to then come back.
But it was great because they threw one of the Authors of Pain guys off the ramp.
Yeah.
And then hit the other one a couple times, and then they fled again.
Yeah, it was great. They flee a lot. It's awesome. Love the Revival. Then we got our Tyler Bate package because, like we said, he's going to be taking on Trent Seven next
week.
I like Tyler Bate. I think he's great.
He's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Then we had the Bobby Roode celebration where he essentially said, I told you so. I am the champion. This is now the Bobby Roode NXT. It's my NXT.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great.
Glorious.
It's going to be glorious.
Glorious.
So nobody interrupted him.
Nope.
It was just Bobby Roode saying, I'm the best. I am
glorious.
He's
saying, I'm the man.
I'm the man. And then that was it. And then they had a great like light show at the end where he was just
looked like dry ice.
They had dry ice shooting down. And it's
I
don't know why I focus on this, but three of them were really strong
and one wasn't. I
and
noticed
the
that
front
too.
One was like kind of weak.
I noticed that too.
But then this reminded me totally because I was a huge Quantum Leap mark that it looked like he was leaping out of there.
Yeah.
Because like they had this like bright, almost blue-ish light on him.
Yeah.
It was like a white.
No, it was exactly like the intro. Yeah.
And then like when they brought the camera down, I was like, oh my god, he's totally quantum leaping out of there.
Yeah,
and then he's gonna like end up in the body of like an 80-year-old woman.
I wonder if they have all the, because during his intro they have the fog machine going, and then they have all that dry ice it looked like coming down.
Yeah,
if they do that to reflect the light.
Oh, that could be. Yeah,
to make it more luminous.
Yeah, that could be. I don't know. But I know somebody didn't fill up the dry ice all the way in one of the machines.
Yeah, I know.
And maybe that's why he didn't fully quantum leap out of there.
That's a good point.
I don't know how quantum leaping works exactly.
Nor do I. Yeah. So that took us to our main event.
Dillinger, Strong, and Ty versus
No Way
Sanity.
Jose.
Oh, yeah.
Versus Sanity.
Yeah.
Fun match.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Do you think it was coincidental that following Bobby Roode's promo, the first person to be introduced for the main event was Ty Dillinger? Am I reading too much into it?
Yes. However, I don't think that's going to stop their plans for doing exactly what you think they're going to do.
And the more I think about it, it's going to be a Survivor Series weekend.
Why do you say that? Why,
it'll
why
be exactly 1 year from their match.
Survivor Series that's a good point. All right.
It'll give Roode time to build up his reign. he can have a feud with.
He's going to have a Chris he's Hero. He's going to have a strong reign. Yeah, exactly.
You know, he has a rematch with Shinsuke. He can have a feud with Chris Hero. Mm-hmm. And all the while, they can continue to build up Ty's character.
Right.
Ty's top face right now in NXT.
Oh, totally top face. Yeah, absolutely. And then after him, it's...
Well, I guess actually Shinsuke.
Rick Bugnar.
Shinsuke's still top face, but...
I think well, Shinsuke is so, like, eccentric that I think the guy that people relate to the most
in face fashion
is absolutely Ty Dillinger. And I think everybody kind of knows, because everybody there is like a big mark or a big smark. They all know that Shinsuke has 1 foot out the door to probably SmackDown anyways. I got so much shit in the comments for being sad over
idea.
The fact
I think
that
someone asked a question about this in one of our things we have to shoot tape. I'm going to say it right now anyways. Oh, someone asked a question. I think it's on the Dirt Sheet episode, but I'll just do it now. About The Miz and Daniel Bryan, their feud, and how since Daniel Bryan can't wrestle, can they ever have a blow-off?
Right.
What if Daniel Bryan... You know, because the whole feud more or less centered on Daniel Bryan saying The Miz works soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
And what if Daniel Bryan... Instead of him coming out to wrestle, he brought out Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh, that'd be great. That'd be cool.
That would work.
I'd like that. I'd be fine with that. Kind of, okay.
And probably Shinsuke not. Would go out there and destroy The Miz.
Yeah.
During an episode of SmackDown.
I don't know. It still feels too... Everything feels too small for Shinsuke. I think he should just go back to New Japan and... Only wrestle at Wrestle Kingdoms and WrestleMania.
I understand your point, but I think adding a talent like Shinsuke to SmackDown would elevate the SmackDown brand.
No, I know. I get it. I know. I'm fine with it because I totally get the point also that Raw is kind of boring and SmackDown is more interesting, so why wouldn't you want a more interesting guy? And SmackDown is just a couple big talents away from being really, really good and really important.
Yep.
It's just... You know, when you see Triple H saying, yeah, you know, he this is where he belongs, the main event of Raw. The fact that WWE believes that Raw is their biggest deal.
I know.
They need to, Shinsuke needs to be wherever their biggest deal is. I think that's, here's my thing. I think he should be wherever the biggest deal is considered. And that's Raw. And that's in the main event of Raw. Because if you do anything less for him, it's just, it devalues him as a character, I feel. So he should have everything. He should have all the belts. But that's just me. I think AJ should have all the belts too, and I think he should be in every match.
Yes.
So anyways. But no, I'd mark out if they did like Shinsuke versus AJ Styles at WrestleMania.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in a fucking, you know, are you kidding me? That'd be amazing. So
yeah, it would.
Maybe that's my thing. Maybe wherever AJ is, I want Shinsuke to be.
There you go. So right now, that's SmackDown.
Okay.
Getting back to this main event. Good match. Fun match.
Yeah, it's a fun match.
It gave Sanity another opportunity to build themselves up as a dominant team.
Yeah.
And they were enormously successful in that endeavor this week. This whole episode was focused on Sanity, and they proved they are a team to contend with.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
They picked up the win in this match. Damo, again, had a dominant performance.
Sure.
So you, as a fan of Sanity, and as I, a fan of Sanity, have you seen the new Sanity t-shirt?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty cool.
I noticed that Eric Young was carrying around a t-shirt with him. And
it's
I
pretty
look
cool.
It up.
Yeah, it's actually really well done. It's fairly understated for a WWE shirt.
I want to see it now, t-shirts.
So, good episode of NXT. Great performance by...
Samoa Joe has a new shirt. I like that new Brock shirt, the ticket.
Yeah.
That's a good-looking shirt. That's a really good-looking shirt. Oh, this one here?
Yeah.
Oh,
and it's got some
cool
writing on the back, but it's not.
Oh, no, that's okay, though.
It's totally
looks
fine.
It looks like Eric Young wrote it, so scribbled it out. Hold on, I want to read this. Oh, I like that. It's like their little modus operandi there.
Oh, is it their manifesto?
It's their manifesto.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
See, it's actually a really well-designed, understated shirt.
No, I really like it. I just wonder, like, how thick this, like,
oh,
the,
probably
this
very
is right
the silk
here.
Screening.
I wish that this was, like, opposite. I wish that, like, the lettering wasn't in black. I wish the lettering was in this, and then that red thing was still there. That would make it better and lighter. And plus, their shirts are just so thick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, that's my critique. No, let's answer some questions now.
Okay.
We're going to answer some questions. Oh, shit. I should probably go to the thing.
Yeah, right? I have it up.
Okay, go
ahead. El Ingobernable de Tejas Adam Mayhem. So okay. We're getting good at that, aren't we?
We're getting very good at it.
Hey, friendos, who do you guys think is about to have a breakout year in NXT? Also, Larson, say yeah.
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 Well, Ty Dillinger is the obvious answer, but I think he had a breakout really last year.
Yeah, I think 2016 was his breakout, and this is a coronation. Who's going to have a breakout?
Andrade Cien Almas.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with that, yeah.
That guy has all the tools.
Oh, I agree totally.
To be a huge, huge star. Yeah. I want to check out some of the stuff he did in CMLL.
I know,
New
me
Japan.
Too. I know, absolutely.
Because based on what I've seen from him in NXT and what I've read, mm-hmm. it seems like he was a huge influence on Naito.
Yeah, that's what I've heard too. Yeah. Let's see here. The advocate for Cowboy Butch Bacon, Matthew Audet. That's right. He made Butch Bacon. Butch mm-hmm. Bacon's now the biggest name in fun wrestling. Do you think the Revival or Sanity would be a great matchup for the Authors of Pain for the tag titles? If not, who do you think would be a great opponent for them? I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be a gap between the Authors of Pain and Sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I don't know, man. I could see, because the Authors of Pain are so young, they're going to need, fuck, I don't know. I've said that before, and then they brought people up to SmackDown like immediately.
Yeah.
Shit, man, I don't know.
I don't know if they'd want to do a heel versus heel program for the tag team titles. That's the only thing. Revival, I mean, the way things are shaping up, it's going to be Revival, Authors of Pain, and DIY.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like Authors of Pain are heels.
Yeah.
The Revival are still more or less heels.
Yeah.
DIY is obviously, they're the face team.
Mm-hmm.
But assuming that the Revival and DIY get called up after Mania.
Mm-hmm.
With Shane Thorne being injured, TM61's not—they're not in the picture right now. There's not a good face tag team right now.
Bollywood Boys.
Okay, there you go.
No, what do you mean? Oh, okay, sorry. You would be okay with that? Bollywood Boys destroy the Authors of Pain.
Well, that wouldn't be believable.
No, it wouldn't be. Who would win in a match? Bollywood Boys or Steven Larson?
They have training, so they would
win. You have to think about it, though. You have to think about it first.
They would win.
Like, okay, let's try this again. Who would win in a match? Steven Larson or the Authors of Pain?
Authors of Pain.
Okay, exactly. You didn't have to think about that. You had to think about the Bollywood Boys one.
For like a half a second.
No, that was 3 seconds. That was 3 full seconds. That's a lot. No Way Jose's ghost, Michael Cruz. Oh, you do this one.
Okay. You are in charge of booking a huge cross-promotional event between WWE and every other major promotion.
Nice.
Book the pay-per-view with WWE superstars having one match against NXT, Lucha Underground, New Japan, Ring of Honor, TNA, and What Culture Pro Wrestling. For example, his card would consist of Cena versus Nakamura, Balor versus Pentagon Jr.,
ooh, yeah.
AJ Styles versus Kenny Omega, obviously. Undertaker versus Matt Hardy, and Neville versus Joseph Connors.
Oh, look at that. Neville versus Joseph Connors. That's interesting.
Yeah. All right, so WWE superstar against superstar from all these other promotions.
I would want to see Sanity versus, like, sort of in the same Ty Dillinger thing they have, the obsession they have right now, but against Aaron Rex in his current Liberace-type gimmick where he comes out in, like, flesh-tone underpants. So it looks like he's wrestling naked.
Okay.
I would love to see that.
That'd but I think so the idea is that's be someone from the main roster facing off against someone from NXT, or sorry, from TNA.
Well, too bad. I just said what I said, okay. And I'm going to stick with it.
Fine.
And then I would do Cena versus Tanahashi because I'm pretty sure they're the exact same person.
Yeah, that's a good choice.
Yeah.
Who should Kenny Omega wrestle?
Well,
AJ Styles, I guess.
That's too obvious.
Exactly.
That's what's too obvious. Else. And Finn Balor is too obvious. I want to see Kenny Omega.
Kevin Owens.
Versus Kevin Owens. That had to have happened already.
Probably.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean I wouldn't want to see it again.
No, sure. I would want to see Kenny Omega versus Baron Corbin. No, I don't have a good answer for that. I don't know. Kenny Omega versus Cena.
I want to see Sami Zayn versus Pentagon Jr.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Who from TNA?
Bobby Lashley versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are the Young Bucks going to wrestle?
They would wrestle
The Revival.
Yeah.
No,
I want to see the Young Bucks versus the Authors of Pain.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to see.
That'd be good. Next.
Michael Elgin's personal ambassador. This is a very long question. Hold on a second. His question is, do you guys have any moments or stories that you know happened but missed during your time away that you wish you had watched from germination? What a great word there.
Yeah.
To completion for the full experience.
I missed most of Edge's singles run, especially as world champ.
It was really long. I saw a lot of it because he was champ for like a lot of times.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. I missed CM Punk's Straight Edge Society bits.
Mm-hmm.
I think when he first came in, it was just like, if you watched the first promo he gave, the very first time he showed up on WWE TV as, you know, CM Punk, it was really corny. It was very like, you know, it was very character, and it took some time for, I think, him to develop into really being comfortable in the WWE with who he is. And so I think when he was started to do the Straight Edge Society stuff, like when he had the long, when he had the Jesus look, I might be getting my, and then they did the hair, the shave thing, and he put on the mask. I thought that was really cool. But when he did the Jesus thing, I missed that.
Yeah.
Like, I missed that.
Yeah. Yeah, that seemed interesting.
Yeah, it did. Like, when I went back and looked at some of the stuff, like, he had a really good Rumble 1 year. It was really cool. Because, yeah, he would eliminate somebody and then start preaching. That's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think I missed that when I was sort of looking away. Drew316.
Hey, friendos. What do you guys think about the hairy Bray Wyatt-looking guy? He means Damo.
He means Damo.
Damo from Sanity. Using the one-winged angel.
Apparently, Damo has used that
for a while.
For a while, so
yeah.
Totally cool with it.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Andrew Wormley.
Yeah.
How would you book a rivalry between Braun and Damo?
I don't know, but you know what? I would love to see Big Damo give him the whatever he calls the one-winged angel. What did he call it?
I don't remember.
Ulster something or another?
Yeah.
Plantation?
Something like that.
Yeah, something like that. Let's see here. The Shit Twins advocate Alexander Carenti. He says, Heavy Machinery might be my new favorite tag team. What I really appreciated about them is that even though they are boulders with arms and legs, they moved really well. Good point.
Mm-hmm.
In the same vein as Damo, Braun, and Corbin to a lesser degree, do you think we'll see more of the big men wrestling a fast pace going deeper in this new era?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, because I think that hosses these days are more athletic than they used to be. I mean, you look at, didn't Braun do a kip up?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It is.
Yeah, so that's insane. Again, Johnny Goodweather, who are Heavy Machinery, and where can I get more of them? Those guys look like money. It's great.
It is. Hunter Haas Helmsley. Hey, friend of C, as you guys have such a boner for AJ Styles, one of them every match.
Every match.
Every match. Say Vince comes to you two and gives you the opportunity to book and run a 3-hour WWE Network special featuring AJ Styles in every match. You can use any wrestler on the WWE and NXT roster.
Okay.
What's the card and what's the name of the show?
Mm-hmm.
Including AJ versus one of the women in a singles match.
Women!
Would be interesting to see which women's wrestler you think could work a great match with AJ. Personally, Hunter Haas Helmsley thinks Natalia or Becky Lynch.
Okay.
So, like a 3-hour show. So, let's say 6 matches.
Okay.
All with AJ Styles. First match.
Let's see here. First match.
AJ versus Sami Zayn. Great way to kick off the show.
Now, it's got to be a pre-show guy, so it's going to be AJ versus Rusev.
Okay.
In the pre-show.
Okay. Then on the main card, AJ versus Sami Zayn.
Then on the main card, yeah, AJ versus Sami Zayn.
And then we need a tag match, AJ Styles and AJ Styles.
Correct.
Versus?
I'm going to say...
The Revival.
No, man, they're NXT still. This is like happening now.
Yeah, it says you can use anyone on the WWE or NXT roster.
I would prefer to see AJ versus...
AJ and AJ.
Well, yeah, AJ and AJ, Team AJ, versus... Hold on, let me think about this. Who are the... I don't want them. Who's on... Oh, I want AJ and AJ versus The Club.
Oh, okay.
That's what it is.
Well, we'll have 2 tag matches.
Torn.
That'll be one,
okay.
And then the other one...
All right, that works.
...will be against The Revival.
Okay, that works, too.
Mid-card.
AJ versus Dolph.
Okay.
Have we seen...
Yeah,
seen that.
Yeah.
Okay. Never mind, I don't want that. Get that out of there. AJ versus who on the mid card of Raw haven't we seen? AJ versus Braun. I want to see AJ versus Braun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he can do a lot with a big man.
Mm-hmm. AJ versus which woman competitor?
Asuka.
Women's competitor. Yeah.
AJ versus Asuka would be amazing.
Or AJ versus Charlotte.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be good, too.
But I want to see Asuka.
One more match.
Here's the thing. The main event, it'd be AJ versus Shinsuke Nakamura.
You don't want AJ versus AJ?
Oh, yeah, we can do that because we had the tag thing. Yeah, AJ versus AJ.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay.
We can have AJ,
main event.
AJ and AJ versus the Revival, mm-hmm. AJ versus Shinsuke, and then the main event, AJ versus AJ.
Okay, that works. But most important thing, what are we calling it? I mean, it's an in-your-house,
obviously.
In-your-house.
I mean, it only makes sense to have the phrase Styles Clash in there somewhere.
I know.
Phenomenal one against all.
Phenomenal one against all. Okay, all right, that works. That works. In your house, Styles Clash, Phenomenal one.
Yeah, Styles Clash, all. Colon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One against all. That's good. The Mediocre 7, CB Skinner. With Neville and Scott Dawson using a superplex and DDT respectively to win matches, do you see a resurgence of old school finishers replacing some newer, flashier ones? Or if people become desensitized to simpler moves? No, because you see, like, Bobby Roode essentially just has a DDT for his finish.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I think people will probably put a little stank on some old-school finishers and use those.
Yeah.
Ember Moon has the stunner, but it's from the top rope.
Yeah.
You know, she does a flippy
thing. It's a variation, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And she hits it. She doesn't hit it like a cutter, like an RKO. She hits it like a stunner sitting down.
Yeah. My name is Jeff.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, friendos, long-time listener and first-time patron here. Thank you very much.
Thank you. My name is Jeff.
On one of the previous podcasts, you guys said that you disliked the beginning of Cedric Alexander's theme music, which I totally agree on.
Mm-hmm.
But what about the entrance music of Roderick Strong?
Mm-hmm.
It begins very slow, dull, and the rest is a bit generic. What is your opinion about his music and how you would change it? Thanks, guys. Keep up the great work. He's got a new video package. I noticed, but I agree. Yeah, the beginning of his song is not that great.
I think he's really good, but I think they're turning him into generic guy. I feel like that's the case.
Yeah.
Obviously, look, here's the thing. This is what I'm going to ask you because you're more of a music guy than me. So with the Revival, they have country music with like a hardcore like metal screamer guy.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. What two genres can they mash up for Roderick Strong?
Good question.
Like, how about this? What if they use like some...
One has to be nu metal.
One has to be nu metal. That's right.
And but nu metal is kind of a mashup of genres anyways.
Yeah. Well, is it?
I mean, there is a hip hop influence on.
Yeah, there was.
Nu
yeah.
metal.
Yeah, a little bit. How about this? What about, okay, I'm trying to think of like the name of it. But you know when, like, they have some, like, is it, I don't know what type of karaoke it is, but, like, Asian karaoke, like, Japanese karaoke?
Oh, yeah.
Where it's, like, what are the instruments they use for that? Like, light string instruments?
Mm-hmm.
It's very mellow.
Yeah.
But then you have, like, some screamo dude.
Okay.
Over that.
Okay.
There we go. It's, like, very mellow, but then all of a sudden you just have some guy with, like, a high-pitched... Like, he's kind of looking androgynous a little bit. He's got kind of a high pitch. Like, is that a girl or a guy screaming right now?
Okay.
Doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. How about that?
All right.
I like that. You kind of failed me on that one because you're the music guy.
I know.
Yeah.
But I was trying to find a juxtaposition that wasn't just like way extreme, like nu metal and opera.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be good. Oh, that'd be great. Are you kidding me? Like some Korn shit, but some like Luciano Pavarotti shit too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Okay. That's what I thought. I thought that was just too much of a stretch.
That sounds great.
All right. That's my answer then.
Yeah. All right. Let's dink around here.
Dan Boss. Do you ever see Heavy Machinery winning NXT Tag Gold? Maybe a year or two down the line. They could be the face tag team that's missing right now.
You know, like everybody comes from somewhere in NXT, so they could be. They would need some time on the mic. They would need a little bit of time on the mic, and it's always possible, I guess. Here we go. Chris Kimmel. Is there any way the Revival get those belts back from the Authors of Pain? No way. Not a chance.
Nope.
They're going to lose that three-way, and then they're going to go on to
the main roster.
Yeah, to the main roster. No way. Nate Morris. Is Damo added to the list of wrestlers who need to wear a shirt? Not a chance. His torso is amazing. It looks fantastic. So much hair.
Yeah, he's a very, very
flesh
hairy.
Flesh, and he looks like a guy. Cronenberg movie, man. It's great. One more question.
Yeah, I'm trying to find a good one.
Okay.
Oh, here we go. One. Ultimo Swaggin. Hey, friendo. After listening to this week's SmackDown episode where Larson listed beer as his favorite hobby outside of wrestling, I just thought I would ask if either of you have tried Stone Cold's IPA.
No.
If so, what did you think of it? No, I keep looking for it.
Yeah.
I haven't been able to find it at any of our local stores yet.
Have you gone to the BevMo? Like the,
mm-hmm.
Really? It's not at BevMo?
Well, I went to Total Wine.
Oh, okay.
I didn't see it there.
Try the wine.
Because they have a really good beer selection. Yeah. I don't know if there's a... I'll see if there's a place I can order it. So I'd like to try it.
Yeah. I like this last question. This is the last one right here. The man with no wrists. If Scott Steiner would, and it's all caps.
Yeah, so
I
see it. Yeah.
Yeah, he probably wants me to do in Scott Steiner's voice. If Scott Steiner would come into WWE right now, where would he go? 205 Live, squash some skinny bastards.
Imagine Scott Steiner in NXT.
That'd be great. Oh, I was limping around. That'd be awesome. I watched some like real small indie show with Scott Steiner. I'm not gonna say it was that small. Look, I mean, they had the spotlight. They had like some production value.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was wrestling this local yokel, and he was sort of a tubby guy, and he was just, you fat fucking bastard. He was just dropping the F-bomb left and right. It was pretty great.
Oh,
and of course, Scott Steiner just mills about the entire way, puts him in various submission holds, and beats him with the
Steiner recliner.
Yeah. And, like, at one point, like, there's one guy in the crowd, like, it's sort of in the upper level, because there's an upper level, and he's, like, giving him the thumbs down, and then Scott Steiner, you know, he just starts launching into a curse word-laden tirade against the guy. The guy probably shit himself on the spot. So, anyways, there we go.
There we go.
That's it for NXT 205 Live Recap. We got our predictions episode. So, is this going up first, and then predictions going up,
yes,
like, tonight? Is that happening?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So, we got our predictions episode coming up later on tonight. Be sure to check that out. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.